When I met my ex-husband, I remember feeling like he wasn't exactly right for me. The truth is, I didn't really find him very attractive, and we had almost nothing in common. Still, I found myself drawn to him and spending way too much time with him. I felt charmed by his smooth-talking ways, and before long, I even felt something that kind of seemed like love to me. Within a few months, we were married, and the BS would begin. But had I known then what I know now, I never would have married him. Because now I know that even before we actually tied the knot, there were plenty of red flags, obvious signs that he was not the one for me. Signs that he was toxic, and in hindsight, signs that he might even be a toxic narcissist. What's kind of funny about that is that once I realized that I had been married to a narcissist, I started to think about all of the other relationships I had in my life. And it turns out he wasn't my first, nor was he my last toxic relationship. But what exactly did that mean? I found myself wondering. Was it me? Was I the one attracting narcissists to me somehow? Was I attracted to them? Well, that's exactly what we're going to talk about today at queenbeing.com. How to recognize that you are in a relationship with a narcissist and what to do if you are. So let's get started. The beginning of a relationship with a narcissist can be very deceptive. In most cases, a narcissistic relationship begins just like any other, with the standard phases of initial attraction, infatuation, and eventually falling in love. But what type of person does a narcissist actually go for? Well, there's no one single type that a narcissist typically goes for, technically. I mean, there are no parallels to be drawn among the partners of narcissists if we're talking about height, weight, eye color, race, or any other physical or cultural characteristic. While there seems to be no ideal or standard mate, friend, spouse, etc. for a narcissist, there are certain similarities about the relationships that we can point out, certain parallels. For example, the narcissist typically begins any new relationship with sort of a honeymoon period, during which everything seems perfect, almost too good to be true. Living in a relationship with a narcissist can be everything from exciting and exhilarating to soul-sucking and traumatic. And it's usually one extreme or the other, depending on what day it happens to be. You might compare it to a type of emotional roller coaster. And a narcissist cannot exist without someone to adore, someone who will submit to their will, someone to be available at their whim, and willing to disparage him or herself for their benefit. The narcissist's entire identity really depends on it. It's called narcissistic supply. So what draws a person into a relationship like this and keeps them there? What makes a person want to stay with a narcissist? Well, most toxic relationships in general become toxic because of the codependency between two distinct personality types. The people pleaser type, or the fixer, the codependent, and the taker, or the controller, the narcissist. Now, codependents are likely to be compassionate and kind. They tend to be sacrificing and giving and focus mostly on the needs and desires of other people in their lives. They're not likely to emotionally disconnect, and in many cases, they might not even know how to emotionally disconnect. And most aren't aware that they need to avoid narcissists, at least not when they get started. And narcissists tend to be primarily selfish, self-centered, controlling, and harmful to a codependent person. Now, a codependent is likely to appreciate these differences initially, and what they first see in the narcissists as almost strengths because they're so different than the codependent. Well, this is before, of course, the narcissist has ripped off that mask and shown the ugly side or their true colors. And after that, it can get a little muddy. While physically, culturally, and otherwise, the victims of narcissism are all very different, there are certain qualities that do typically unite them, certain things that we all kind of have in common. First, you have to be a little insecure or at least have a sort of distorted sense of reality if the narcissist is going to expect you to stick around. Otherwise, you're going to be out on the first or second exhibit of narcissism very early in the relationship. As a codependent, you might belittle yourself and demean yourself, and during the relationship, you might glorify the narcissist and put them on sort of an untouchable pedestal. Initially, this could be to combat the narcissist's apparent lack of self-esteem, if they're of the covert nature, or it might be in response to simple positive feedback from the narcissist when you do pass along this praise. As a result, the codependent person puts him or herself in the position of the victim, and that works fine for them as they have a tendency to punish themselves. Does that ring true for you? Maybe they even seem to display a little bit of masochism in some cases, and they might even feel like they kind of deserve this life of torment. The codependent might become the narcissist's sort of eternal scapegoat, always put upon and always putting his or her own needs last. In fact, that's kind of part of how the codependent survives in a toxic relationship, by putting their own wishes, their own dreams, hopes, aspirations on the back burner in favor of the narcissist. Now, I personally recall learning to not even consider my own wants, my own needs, because my life became so much easier if the narcissist was happy. And that meant that I would need to put the narcissist's needs before my own. And it's not like I was so unusual. This is common to survivors of narcissistic abuse. Listen, victims of narcissism will often call themselves people pleasers or diplomats, like I said before. But the truth is that we are often so downtrodden in our relationships that we become changed, sort of reactive versions of our former selves. Narcissists tend to have this ideal image of what they want us to be, what they want their partners to be. And if you dare to tarnish this in any way, or to cause them to doubt it in any way, you're going to find yourself in the doghouse with the narcissist. They're also going to expect your home and your lifestyle to appear perfect, and they're going to want you and all of that to make certain statements to the people they want to impress. Because with a narcissist, it's never actually about making you, their partner, happy, or anyone else happy, safe, fulfilled. It's always about what people on the outside of the relationship think and perceive. So a lot of people ask me, can the narcissist also be a codependent then? Well, contrary to popular belief, narcissists aren't necessarily the polar opposite of a codependent. In fact, while they do appear to be completely different than their victims, like I said, polar opposites almost, they often have similar experiences and traumas to the very people they're victimizing. And this is often seen because victims of childhood abuse and or neglect, the majority of narcissists experience something like this. And so they can identify with their victims and their own issues if only they had the empathy to do that. So what am I talking about? Well, for example, both narcissists and their victims experience certain symptoms of codependency, like the overwhelming feelings of shame, living in denial of their childhood abuse and neglect, or of their own current issues. They might have control issues or dependency on others for their self-worth. They might have issues with setting and overstepping boundaries and communication problems. Ultimately, while it does seem a little counterintuitive, narcissists are definitely codependent. They just kind of manifest it differently than we do. The difference is that narcissists seem to turn inward, while victims of narcissists tend to turn outward with the love that they normally would have given parents and other family members had they been allowed to do that. So how do you know if you are married to or in relationship with a narcissist? Well, there are 12 common behaviors that spouses and partners of narcissists tend to report. They are as follows. Number one, it feels like you're the one doing most of the work in the relationship. Number two, your partner does things to sort of sabotage the relationship and prevent it from moving forward, but they don't want to let you go either. Number three, your partner has episodes of excessive and often unjustified anger, sometimes even infidelity, and he or she somehow makes it all your fault. Number four, the relationship is mostly focused around your partner's interests and activities, and when it's not, there will be an ugly outburst or argument. Number five, you feel controlled or manipulated by your partner's moods to the point that you might feel like you're walking on eggshells all the time, like you're a servant to the narcissist's whims. Number six, you might find yourself covering up, explaining, or apologizing for their behavior. Number seven, your partner might make one-sided decisions that impact your safety and well-being. Number eight, you might feel unsafe because of some of the actions that your partner takes. Number nine, your partner will refuse to see your good intentions, always blaming you for every situation, always making you admit you're wrong, even when that's not the case. Number 10, you sometimes find yourself desperately trying to remember the times when your partner showed love for you. when they acted like you could do no wrong, as is often the case in the early parts of the relationship when the love bombing is happening. Number 11, you feel emotionally exhausted, often completely drained by how hard you have to work to make or keep your partner happy. And number 12, your partner might have a history of troubled relationships and/or addictions. Between the gaslighting, the love bombing, and the flying monkeys, you end up forgetting your own identity as you desperately try to become the version of yourself that might make the narcissist happy. But even if you manage to completely change and morph yourself into the narcissist's idea of the imagined perfect person, it never matters. Here's a painful truth for you, and I hope you take it in the spirit in which it is intended. You will never be enough for a narcissist. It's a harsh reality that we all have to understand. But when it comes to the narcissist and their perception of you, you can never be enough. Even if you completely focus every bit of your energy on that person, he or she will always look somewhere else for something else, anything to increase their own supply of attention. No matter how amazing you are, and you are amazing, it will never be enough for a narcissist because it's never been about you. Don't let yourself be confused here. It is not you. You are not the problem. It's absolutely not about you. It's about the way the narcissist's convoluted mind works. And you can't take personal responsibility for the broken person you're dealing with. You just have to find a way to self-confidence and peace outside of the narcissist. The fact is that since the narcissist is so personally broken on the inside, nobody on earth is ever going to fill the endless hole of need the narcissist carries around. At least not for long. There are so many manipulation tactics that most narcissists have in common that most of their victims say reading about the abuse that they've suffered can feel like reading their own stories, even when it's my story or your story. Their tactics are underhanded and sneaky and often undetectable. And yet, these tactics can sometimes be so definable that even a child can learn to recognize them. So now that you know, where do you go from here? Well, you might feel like you're all alone when you're dealing with a narcissist in a toxic relationship. But the truth is that getting involved with these Jekyll and Hyde types is something that a lot of us go through at one time or another. Sometimes, though, we have to endure so much soul-numbing mental abuse from these people, and this type of abuse can have a powerfully and profoundly negative effect on us that can last an entire lifetime. After a painful episode of gaslighting or any number of other forms of narcissistic abuse, it's sometimes very difficult to bounce back from the mental abuse that you've had to endure. It's torture, and your self-esteem plummets because of it. Not only that, the torturous mental abuse you were subjected to by a narcissist is usually an attack on your personal character, an emotional assault committed all too often by these people. They need to make you feel worthless and insecure, but you don't always understand why. I mean, the truth is that you would be their biggest fan if they would just allow it, right? So why does a narcissist want and need to make you feel worthless and desperate? It's basic NPD 101. The narcissist's intent, whether they realize this or not to gain control and boost their own ego. The narcissist wants you to have low self-esteem so you won't be able to think for yourself. In an ideal situation, when you first recognize this, that's the time to go no contact. The truth is that getting out of a toxic relationship like that is the first step you actually need to take in order to save your own sanity. But sometimes no contact isn't an option. It's not possible. So what are you supposed to do then? Well, you start planning and figuring out what you're going to do. But in the meantime, you learn how to deal with it. You learn how to get through it. So I'm going to give you a few tips right now to help you do exactly that. Now, there are some other things you're going to need to do to recover fully from the gaslighting, manipulation, and mental abuse that you are experiencing now or that you have experienced before. Remember that it's important to stay active. Now, tip number one is start by getting back to your life. So get out and do things with your family or your friends, because remember that an abuser loves to alienate you from your loved ones. Number two, keep your mind focused on other things so that you don't isolate yourself at home and become dependent on that negative person who's feeding into your self-esteem issues. I have found that focusing on what I can control as opposed to things that are beyond my control is especially helpful. You have to change your mind to change your life. Number three, call your friends, read uplifting books, or concentrate on a project like redecorating your house or a room in your house. Number four, do whatever it takes to keep going. If you have a job, continue to work and take note of your goals and achievements. If you don't have a job, maybe look for one or start your own business. Working can get your mind off of your problems and give you the necessary affirmation that you can do whatever you put your mind to. And it reminds you you're not worthless. Number 5, avoid jumping into other relationships until you're fully healed emotionally. This is because you're more likely to fall for other toxic partners who are just like your ex if you're not careful. You don't want to get in the same situation as before and repeat this cycle in your life. Number 6, don't waste time on thoughts about your ex, whether they're negative or positive. Some people make the mistake of spending a lot of time focused on their thoughts of how much they hate their former partner or how much they wish they could get revenge or how much they love their former partner, and none of that is helpful. Once you get through the initial few weeks or months, start focusing on yourself instead. Number 7, release the anger and focus on what's important. And that's you. Did I mention that? It's time to move forward with your life. So don't be afraid to seek some professional help. Whether you're looking for a coach or a therapist, you want someone who can help you work through your feelings and help you build your self-esteem back up. Don't let a toxic relationship break your spirit. You can get out there and you can take back your life. Now, I do offer coaching. You can go to queenbeing.com/coaches. All right, now this brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, are you in a relationship with a narcissist or have you been in one before? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comments section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you here and here. And while you're at it, hit the subscribe button so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.